dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats the enchanting whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. And we would like to actually express our condolences sorrow and sadness for this holy month, the month of Muharram, actually, and the martyrdom of the master of the martyrs, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, peace be upon him. Well, we're going to talk about some of the laws related to Muharram according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about the jurisprudential laws about mourning and the mourning ceremonies for Imam Hussein, the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, I would like to ask you this question regarding the public fund or the public treasury, you know. Is it permissible, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, to use the property, of the public treasury for convening, for holding such ceremonies, for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, the commemorative gatherings?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Generally speaking, such matters are subject to rules and regulations of the relevant institution or offices which are set up here and there, because the public treasury is being protected or preserved by a special organization, and of course the permission of those organizations and also the rules and regulations which those organizations have must be taken into consideration and must be followed. It's not permissible to use those donated amount and those donations against the rules and regulations of those institutions. And of course, as said by His Eminence, if this property is used in accordance with the rules and regulations of the relevant institution, there is no problem. There is no problem, and there is no objection to using the property for holding those commemorative gatherings or those commemorations. You know, majalis, which the word majalis is a very well understood word, and every Muslim, Shia Muslim, understands what the word majlis or majalis actually means.
Mm-hmm. Is there any condition attached to it?
The condition, as I said, you know, it's the property belonging to the public treasury must be used in accordance with the rules and regulations of the institution which is in custody,
yes,
of that property.
I see. Okay, Shostovid, another question would be, the fact that, when you go to the mosques and Husseiniyas, or masajids, you would see that, they somehow cover even the walls, the pillars of those centers in black, just to commemorate and pay their homage, in fact, to the infallibles, the followers, do everything in their power to make sure that this would happen, in fact, during the month of Muharram, right?
Yes.
So is that, in fact, like spreading out the black fabrics, for example, or cover the walls of these centers, these religious centers, in fact, reprehensible?
Well, every occasion, whether happy or sad, has its special requirements. In the month of Muharram, people want and expect the streets, the lights to be, and the color of these things to be in harmony with the event that they are in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to spreading the out black fabrics on the walls or to cover the walls, of course, there is no objection. It's mm-hmm. not. It is completely permissible, and it's good to cover the walls of the masajid as well as to wear in black during these majalis or these events, these commemoration events. And as a sign of respect, as a sign of sympathy, and also as a sign of venerating the divine and those noble members of the Prophet's family,
mm-hmm.
It's a sign of expressing sadness and grief,
yes,
and showing sympathy with the Ahlul Bayt of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. So there is no problem. There is no objection whatsoever in spreading out black garments and in black and erecting or installing black flags to indicate that this is the month of Muharram and this is the month in which Imam Hussein والسلام, the grandson of the Holy Prophet peace be upon him and his companions were martyred brutally.
Right. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
Stars, your eyes pull me to you, who are you? I walk in the day with millions of angels. I see you in all these faces, who are you? One step I fade away, the next step I'm born again. You're flowing. To me, desire, dream somewhere. Desire.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad Hossein, this program, and Sheikh Javed, my guest speaker in the studio. We are talking about the jurisprudential laws about the morning of Muharram. Sheikh Javed, you know, some people are in the habit of, staining their head or smearing their head or their forehead with some mud on such days, like when it comes to Muharram ceremonies. Is there any harm in doing so? I mean, is it what? What's the rule about it?
You're right. You know, there are people who want to, let's say, apply mud to their forehead or to their head, and it is very common in some countries, especially in Iran, of course. Now, according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, if it is that which is commonly done, you know, and considered by common people as a manifestation of grief in these majalis and these gatherings, of course, there's no problem and there's no harm in it,
mm-hmm.
provided that as long as this is, you know, perceived as a form, as an expression or as an example of grief, showing grief and showing sadness, there's no problem, because it's permissible to show your grief in whatever manner possible, provided that it is considered to be a form of showing grief and a form of showing sadness. It is allowed.
Okay. Sheikh Javed, you know, another question which is somehow important, and I think, most people in the Muslim areas, especially in the Shia-dominated areas, are subject to, is the recitation of the Holy Quran and sermons, from the loudest speakers on top of the these religious centers, such as masajids and Husseiniyas. You know, these buildings, in fact, are installed with different kinds of loudspeakers, and they broadcast whatever they, like, for example, the Azan, the Holy Quran, and sometimes even the sermons and the speeches, which are delivered by the orators, right? The question is, especially when it comes to the seasons, the commemorative seasons of Muharram for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, although the sound is very loud and some people still might like it, I might say that, which can be a nuisance to the neighborhood, some of the neighbors might be upset because of its loud noise, all right?
Yes.
The people might be responsible for the functions, are very much even adamant, and are strong, they have strong feelings about it, to carry on, broadcasting it or playing it through the loudspeaker. So what's the Islamic law about it?
Well, we know that holding morning ceremonies is mustahab, it is recommended in and of itself. And a mustahab practice must not, lead to something which is haram or which is forbidden in Islam, because it is not permissible to disturb others and to raise the sound of the loudspeakers installed on top of the mosques or imam bargahs or whatever they call it. They, of course, Husayniyas in Iran. So, according to His Eminence, the people responsible for holding these gatherings should do their best, of course, to avoid all that which may cause a nuisance, a kind of disturbance to neighbors. It's very important to keep the loudspeakers low.
And limited to the inside part or inner part of the center.
If we know for sure that, okay, the people do not consent to it, the people are disturbed, the sound is bothering the neighbor. Because sometimes, we see that late at night, it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, that the speakers are still on.
Yeah.
And, there are, they're at the top of their sound.
Yes,
possible.
Exactly.
So they do create a lot of problem for many elderly people who want to have rest, who want to sleep. And if that is the case, of course, those who are in charge of these Husayniyas and these mosques must,
they should turn it down.
Turn down the loudspeakers and limit it, maybe, by lowering the volume of the public, of the speakers, or by directing the speakers inward instead of outward.
I see.
And that is the solution.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave. Mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of new